Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Good morning across the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. I'm Todd Albaugh. It is hour number three, and it is Wednesday, the 22nd of March, 2023. Glad to have you along with us in hour number three, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer. We have made it to the final hour of the big show for Hump Day.
We have once again.
Hump Day!
Yes. Yes, indeed. And coming up this hour, you've looked at this yourself. What do you think, Mr. Zommers? Do you think there's a case here, Jack Daniels against this dog toy company?
Whether or not there's a case, I couldn't stop laughing. And I was just like, I'm going to leave the microphone off for now.
We're going to talk about this this case going for before the United States Supreme Court.
It shouldn't be so funny, but it is.
It is funny. The Jack Daniels company. That Jack Daniels. As in whiskey, alcohol. They are suing a little dog company because they made a dog toy that kind of, actually a lot, looks like an actual bottle of Jack Daniels.
But there are so many dog toys that look like bottles of Jack Daniels. This is not the first, and it won't be the last. Well, it could be the last.
It could be. This is a big case. This is a larger case about is trademark infringement, all right? And it's whether or not a small company can use someone's trademarked image in a spoof.
And I think that that's clearly laid out where you can do parodies. So I don't know.
Well, I mean, Weird Al Yankovic has made a career of it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he has made a career on ripping other people's stuff off, which is part of the reason I've never really been a Weird Al Yankovic fan. Because I
like some of his songs.
I mean, there's a couple that I'll laugh at, but I just don't like it because it's not original. I mean, it's just I don't mind a good takeoff of a parody or whatever. I don't mind that as a one-off. But if that's your entire brand, if that's your entire career, if you can't come up with anything original, come on now.
I think it's still its own type of creativity, but I do definitely see what you are coming from.
Are you a Weird Al fan?
I wouldn't say I'm a fan. I'm not all about him, but I like some of his stuff.
Yeah, we should check in with my former colleague at RCO, Dave Turk, at Richland Center, another colleague of Jeff and I's. He was back in the day, Dave Turk could not get enough Weird Al Yankovic. And maybe he's still a fan. I don't know. We should, if you're listening, Dave, give us a call. Or anybody can give us a call, 715-388-7155. Again, area code 715-388-7155. We'd love to hear from you this morning on anything this morning. It's an open Wednesday. We can talk about the U.S. Supreme Court case, Jack Daniels and a dog toy. Or we can talk about the Wisconsin State Supreme Court race. Or we can talk about the Trumpster or whatever else is on your mind this morning. 715-388-7155.
And Colin, one of my friends from Manitowoc, yeah. I strongly doubt it. But if you happen to be listening right now, you should call in and tell us how it was when you went to that Weird Al concert all those years ago.
Well, you know people that went to Weird Al, so there you go.
I know person who went to a Weird Al concert.
Person, singular. Here's your singular great forecast for today from our weatherology meteorologist, Kara Foster, looking at the RC, that is WRCE, in Richland Center, southwest Wisconsin today. A slight chance of rain, then cloudy skies, and a high of 52 degrees. That's right, over 50 today. Then for tonight, a chance of rain and light snow. Nothing really going to accumulate, just snow in the air, possibly a low of 31. Then for tomorrow, Thursday, a chance of snow showers in the morning, partly sunny by afternoon, not quite as warm, down to 43 for a high tomorrow in Richland Center. Up in Wausau today, Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, a chance of rain and snow, then mostly cloudy, a high of 45 for tonight, light snow chance and a low of 26. Tomorrow, Thursday, partly sunny, a high of 38. In Wausau. Over in beautiful Amory, WLAK, Lake Air Radio Land, mostly sunny, a high of 38. Then for tonight, mostly cloudy, a low of 23. And Thursday, decreasing clouds and a high of 37 degrees in Amory, Wisconsin. A couple of things. Here's what you need to know on this Wednesday, the 22nd of March. Former President Donald Trump bracing for several potential scenarios related to a possible indictment from the Manhattan grand jury probing a hush money scheme. Even as there are signs the investigation into Trump's alleged role in the scheme is quietly paying off, adult film star Stormy Daniels is nearing its end. It is not clear yet that the former president will be charged or when those charges could be unveiled. The economy. An announcement on interest rates and new economic projections are expected from the Federal Reserve later today. It'll be the first time the world hears from Fed officials since the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank and as the U.S. banking system remains under intense pressure. If the Fed follows its pattern of aggressive rate hikes over the past year, it will likely raise interest rates by a quarter of a percentage point or 25 basis points, underscoring its commitment to fighting inflation. COVID-19. While most Americans have put COVID-19 vaccines on the back burner, health officials in the U.S. are now weighing whether to offer another round of the booster for people at high risk of infection, according to a source familiar with deliberations. Officials are considering this step because the virus that causes COVID-19 has evolved, and protection from existing boosters may be waning. And a powerful 6.5 magnitude earthquake struck Afghanistan and Pakistan yesterday, killing at least 13 people and damaged buildings and triggered landslides. Back with more after this. This is the Todd Allball Show, and you're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
Face last night.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is quarter after the hour, 10 o'clock. That is 10:15. That is an outstanding piece of music there. Mr. Zommer's Enlightenment, if you'd be so very kind.
Yes, that is the song Sue Jack Daniels by the Reverend Horton Heat.
Wait. The Reverend Horton Heat? Is that what you said?
Yep. It's a band that I've seen in concert once.
You really did.
A like rockabilly psychobilly band,
all right,
with the front man's like 65 years old and he's still just playing really fast songs and singing, and anytime he like had to say the band name, the bassist, who had a big upright bass that he's playing and rocking around, he'd stop and he'd be like, "The Reverend Horton Heat."
All I can think about is like a variation, like an adult version of Dr. Seuss's Horton Hears a Who, Horton in Heat.
You know, that would, oh, God.
That would be a whole nother program.
Yeah, understand? that's completely different.
Now,
might have to hit up Stormy Daniels for that one.
Now for something completely different. Well, that's good. That's good. That's fantastic. I like that. So here's this story about Jack Daniels saying a dog toy company is ripping off of his brand. What will the Supreme Court say? This is a real story. If you want to follow along, it's on CNN today. CNN.com. It's a great story. So lawyers for Jack Daniels will argue to the Supreme Court today that a dog toy company violated federal trademark law when it parodied the distiller's bottle to sell a Bad Spaniel's Silly Squeaker, a toy, a replica with poop-themed jokes. I'm not making this up. The dog is called, or the toy is called, the Bad Spaniel's Silly Squeaker. The case pits the rights of a famous trademark holder against the First Amendment right of a company that wants to use those marks to sell a humorous product. So this, I mean, it's a funny story to me. It's a humorous story, but it's actually very, very serious. Because what the Supreme Court decides out of this, I mean, think about all the T-shirts you see with like kind of like it looks like a Starbucks logo, but it's actually something else. Or it looks like a Pabst Blue Ribbon beer logo, but it's actually something else. This case could affect all of those kind of things. All right. So at the center of the case is a squeaky toy created by VIP Products that is strikingly similar to a Jack Daniels bottle. And Zomers, you pulled this up. They're not kidding around. It is very similar.
Yes, it is. And that's, it's not the first dog toy shaped like a Jack Daniels bottle, but it may be the last.
but you went online, you found several other ones, right?
Oh yeah, there's all kinds of them. With none of them have as good of a name as Bad Spaniels. They're all just like Bad Dog or something.
Right. All right. Very good. So the point is that they've made this toy and it looks very, very similar to the actual, you know, Jack Daniels bottle here. All right. So the VIP, that's the name of this company. VIP borrows Jack Daniels Old Number 7 brand Tennessee Sour Mash Whiskey to sell, that's what the Jack Daniels says, to sell the Old Number 2 on your Tennessee carpet. Number 2, you get it. Not number 1, but number 2. A reference to the dog excrement. And it changes the liquor bottle's 40% ALC by volume, 80 proof, to 43% poo by volume, and 100% smelly.
This shouldn't make me laugh as much as it does, but just the fact that poop jokes are in the U.S. Supreme Court is hilarious.
I don't know if I've ever seen you laugh this much, to be honest.
Maybe not.
It's great. A tag affixed to this toy notes that it's, quote, not affiliated with Jack Daniels Distillery.
So they got it covered.
So on the tag, it says, look, we are not affiliated with Jack Daniels Distillery. That, however, was not enough to keep Jack Daniels from suing the company to take the toy off the market. The distiller argues that VIP violates federal trademark law and that the toy, especially the reference to dog excrement, damages its reputation of Jack Daniels because it could confuse consumers into thinking that the product belongs to, quote, the oldest registered distillery in the United States. Now, I've never been to one of these big distilleries down south, but I know a couple of people that have. They take this very, very seriously. I mean, it's like a holy product, whiskey, down south especially. Tennessee, all those places. So they take this as like, hey, this is not something we want to mess around with, right? So, goes on here, quote, now this is what Jack Daniels wrote, quote, to be sure, everyone likes a good joke, lawyers for Jack Daniels wrote in court papers, but VIP's profit-motivated quote-unquote joke confuses consumers by taking advantage of Jack Daniels' hard-earned goodwill. Depending upon how they rule, the justices could strip away some trademark protections by giving entities cover to legally use registered trademarks not belonging to them, so as long as they do so in a way that expresses humor. A district court ruled in favor of Jack Daniels, finding that the toy infringed on the distiller's trademark. But an appeals court later said the VIP product, invoking a court-created test used to determine whether a potential trademark infringement in non-commercial instances enjoys constitutional protection. The court said in VIP's use of Jack Daniel's trademark was non-commercial and that because it was done humorously for an expressive work, it's protected by the First Amendment. So you understand that argument there? What they're basically saying is, look, the VIP, the dog toy company, is just doing this as a piece of artwork. They're just expressing a view. And the artwork and a point of view is a voice, and voice and speech is protected by the First Amendment. Free speech. It's free speech. All right, the case deals with a very common thing of pitting somebody who has trademark rights against another who is saying, I'm entitled to use those marks under the First Amendment because it is a parody. And I need to take enough of the mark in order to make it funny. People have to get the joke. Unquote. That's what, according to Mark Summers, a trademark attorney based in Washington, D.C. That last line is important, right? I need to take enough of the mark in order to make it funny, and people have to get the joke. You got to get the joke. All right, so this trademark attorney, he added that the justice's decision in the matter has the potential to be a landmark ruling if, quote, they help define that the line exists between the First Amendment right of expression, be that parody, be that a work of art, whatever you want to express, versus the important trademark issues that are here where brand owners have invested a tremendous amount of goodwill that don't want their trademarks used in a manner which could result in a potential confusion among the consuming public. So I've gone through the trademark process once myself in our first iteration of a coffee shop here in Madison, Fifth Element Coffee. Thought it was a pretty cool name. Hired a great trademark attorney. It's not a quick process. You have to come up with a trademark. You have to come up with a name. You have to file paperwork. You have to submit evidence that no one else is using this and that you've been using it for a certain amount of time to do business. Then it has to be reviewed. Then you get initial okay on this.
So wait, you have to use it before you have
it? Yes. That's weird, isn't it?
But then what if they don't approve it? Then you have to change your business, all your branding, and redo it?
Not necessarily. It just means that it won't be protected.
Gotcha. Okay.
But so people like, you know, Yahoo's like me are like, well, I don't want to use it in case somebody steals it, but that you're protected in that you can prove that you used it first.
Gotcha.
It's a lot of who went first type of stuff in trademark law. So if you can prove that you were using this first, even if somebody tries to steal the name before you get it approved, you can still say that you went first and that wins out. So you have to put it out there. You have to prove that you used it for a while, several months. And then there's an initial approval. And then it takes several months for the trademark people to go through it. And then you pay a fee, a few thousand dollars. And then you finally get final approval. And so there's a website where you could go and put in a name of anything and find out whether it's trademarked or not. And then if that thing is trademarked, you're not supposed to be able to use it, except in, you know, again, free speech issues. But from a standpoint of someone who's had a very, very, very small trademark before, it's up to you to protect that trademark. And believe it or not, I actually, my coffee shop deal, I actually had a couple of instances, one where there was somebody out east, like Rhode Island or somewhere, that was using the name Fifth Element. And I can't remember whether it was, I think it was for some sort of a food product or something. And they were trying to get it trademarked and they couldn't do it because we had already trademarked that name, Fifth Element. So it was a big back and forth thing. So this is very serious business. Back to this story, attorneys for Jack Daniels told the justices in court papers that the appeals court ruling, quote, gives copycats free license to prey on unsuspecting consumers and mark holders, unquote, and warned that if it wasn't reversed, companies could use trademarks they don't own to flood the market with allegedly unserious products. So that's actually kind of funny.
I mean, I think as far as confusion of customers, I think a much more important thing to go after would be brands like Certified Angus Beef. Like that being a brand, that's misleading.
All right. Well, you can file for anything.
And it's also owned by the company who was using child labor. So
yeah, there you go. But the trade patent and trademark people, they don't take into consideration who's making your product, just how you file the name. But great point. Quote, no one disputes that the VIP is trying to be funny, but alcohol and toys don't mix well. And the same is true for beverages and excrement, they wrote. This is what they wrote in the case. The next case could involve more troubling combinations, food and poison, cartoon characters and pornography, children's toys and illegal drugs and so on.
I got bad news for you, buddy. All of those exist.
Look at Stormy Daniels. VIP argues consumers can easily distinguish between the two products, with lawyers for the Arizona-based company writing in court papers that, quote, it has never sold whiskey or other consumables, nor has it tried Jack Daniels in any way, humorously or not. It merely mimicked enough of the iconic bottle that people would get the joke. You got to get the joke. We'll come back with more after this. Take your phone calls. What do you think? Is this a joke or not? 715-388-7155. Your calls after this. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Jack Daniels, just me and you. Jiving for you on a Wednesday morning, 10:33, the Todd Allball Show, the Civic Media Radio Network, pursuing truth wherever it may lead. Tell us the truth, Aaron. Who is that? It's a great
that band. Is Jack Daniels by Eric Church.
No, really? Eric Church. All right, very good.
Listen
up. Very good little Jack Daniels there. I'm looking out across the Civic Media studios here across University Avenue in Madison. We are directly across from, I believe it's the main headquarters for the UW Credit Union, which incidentally is where I bank here in Madison, and it's a fine institution. And every day about this time, there's about 15 or 20 of them that walk out like a herd of deer. They go for a walk together. I'm trying to figure out, do they get coffee together? Is this like a nature thing? I wish I had a wireless mic. I'd be like Frogger. I'd go across the traffic here and go. Wouldn't that be fun to interview them?
We could probably do that.
Like what's going on with you guys? What's up? Observations.
It'd be dangerous, though. We don't know how they're going to talk.
Well, that's very well. The dangerous part would be getting across four lanes of traffic here.
Yeah, that's fair.
that's actually six almost. But anyway,
bodily harm or an FCC complaint filed. Right. I don't know.
I'll take the FCC. 10:34 on this beautiful day here in the capital city, and hopefully across the state where you are as well. Richland Center is going to be a slight chance of rain and cloudy, a high of 52 for today. In Wausau, a chance of rain and snow showers, a high of 46. And up in Amory today, mostly cloudy at a high of 38 degrees. Here in Madison, it's cloudy. I shouldn't say particularly beautiful, but it's warm. It's warm in the 40s today here in Madison, maybe hitting near 50 later on today. Talking about this story, trademark law, Jack Daniels taking on this toy company, VIP. Jack Daniels is suing this dog toy, this small little independent dog toy company, because they came up with this dog toy that is pretty ingenious. It looks, I'll just say it. I mean, Zomers, you correct me if I'm wrong. It pretty much looks exactly like a bottle of Jack Daniels.
Yeah, it looks exactly like a what I would call a legally distinct bottle of Jack Daniels would look like.
Yes.
Where if this was a bottle of alcohol, they might get in trouble because right. The lines are a little too similar. But it's just different enough that you could like put it in a movie without having to brand it.
Right. And then they changed the name of it, and they made it into a dog toy, talking about dog poo instead of alcohol. I mean, it's funny. It's a funny little toy. But Jack Daniels is taking them to court and is going all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court today, arguing before the Supreme Court. And the issue is, does this dog toy look too similar to a bottle of Jack Daniels that it would confuse an average customer to think that the distillery, Jack Daniels, put this out? And would, since it's talking about dog excrement, would it damage the reputation and brand of Jack Daniels? What do you think? Do you think this is a something the Supreme Court should be talking about? Should this be an actual lawsuit? Or do you think it's just a joke? 715-388-7155. Area code 715-388-7155. So getting back to this story, it says here's what they wrote in the case here. This is a case about speech and a popular brand's attempt to control that speech by weaponizing the Lehman Act, they said, referring to the federal trademark law at the center of the dispute. Says it's ironic that the American leading distiller of whiskey both lacks a sense of humor and does not recognize it when everyone else does, has had enough. The toy company told the court. The Biden administration has urged the justices to take the case, with the Justice Department siding with Jack Daniels in this dispute.
Really?
That's what it says. So apparently they can't take a joke.
You know, I feel like what's destroying Jack Daniels' goodwill is not the fact that somebody has a product with poop jokes that looks like their bottle, but the fact that they are going to the U.S. Supreme Court about it. I think that's what's destroying goodwill.
Very likely. Quote, the First Amendment does not confer any right to use another person's trademark or a confusingly similar mark as a source identifier for goods sold in commerce, the U.S. Department of Justice wrote in the court papers. Indeed, the absence of any such right is a basic premise of trademark infringement law. If such a right existed, state and federal government might lack authority to prohibit trademark infringement, that according to the U.S. Department of Justice. Several major companies also filed briefs in the court in support of Jack Daniels, including, who do you think? Oh, you've got the story in front of you. But including Nike and Levi Strauss.
I have a different reporting of it, so I did not see that.
All right, yes. So Nike and Levi Strauss have basically joined this argument that they don't want their brands or images ripped off. Well, that one's pretty, the iconic Swish logo is pretty hard to confuse, right? And if you're going to use that on a product, you better lawyer up.
Yeah, I can't even think of a way to make fun of that.
You'll be shut down, right? Levi Strauss, I guess if you had like the back tag and changed it to something else, maybe. It says, though defendants will often have an incentive to label it as such, not every humorous use of another person's trademark is a parody, Nike wrote on its briefs. I'm assuming court briefs and not underwear
boxer briefs.
My favorite kind of court brief, the boxer brief. Quote, courts, therefore, should take a disciplined approach to this important classification in cases where, quote unquote, parity is claimed. The Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, is expected to rule later this term in another high-profile intellectual property law case, with the justices having heard arguments last year in a copyright infringement case concerning the late Andy Warhol, the famous painter, and the late musician Prince. During those arguments, the justices attempted to determine when a new work based on a prior piece is substantially transformed and when it simply amounts to a copycat version of an existing work subject to copyright rules.
Man, copyright law is such a huge mess in America, especially because, like, if we're talking, for example, music, a justice doesn't necessarily have the knowledge necessary to determine that, or with art. I don't know the specifics of the pieces used in this case, but they might not have the knowledge necessary.
Well, it comes down to, what it comes down to a lot of is just that the balance between someone who has worked very hard to create a brand trademark and they want to protect that versus someone who is an artist, a comedian, a joke teller, and what's their right to free speech to do their art. It's a fine line, right?
I mean, it's really just a matter of these mega corporations who own this stuff don't want a lot of money. They want all the money.
Well, that's a good point, right? That's a good way to look at it. You know, how much is Jack Daniels going to lose on this, money-wise, if this small toy company is selling dog toys that are talking about dog excrement rather than whiskey?
$0.
You think
maybe
zero,
five.
You think $0. You don't think their company is going to be hurt at all by this?
No, I think the toy existed just fine. I think if I see a dog toy making fun of Jack Daniels, that doesn't make me think there's poop in Jack Daniels.
I actually agree with you. No, I don't. The only way I really see this, because it does look so similar, even the font, everything, if you just sold dog toys and you saw it up on the shelf and you just walked past it, would the average person think that that was something put out by Jack Daniels, or would they think it's a joke?
I think the fact that it has a big dog on the cover makes it seem like a joke, but it could also be a themed bottle of Jack Daniels. Or, like at first.
And there's the rub, yeah. Right?
I will definitely say that on this one, the font is very, very similar.
It's identical, basically.
Yeah, it's a little different. A little different.
Hard to tell.
It's like somebody wanted to recreate the Jack Daniels bottle and didn't have the fonts and found whatever was the closest thing on their computer.
But in the toy maker's defense, the dog toy, I'm assuming some sort of plastic or
rubber,
or foam or rubber. The dog toy, where the liquor would be, the alcohol, it's more of a red color. It's not really like a liquor color at all.
Right.
I mean, I would not, if I saw this, I would not think, oh, geez, that's a bottle of Jack Daniels up there. I mean, I'm at least intelligent enough to realize it's a toy. It's a parody. Like, it's just people having fun. And what Aaron said, right? I mean, this is Jack Daniels, a multi-billion-dollar company. I'd like to know how much they're making off this dog toy. What's their, you know, let's put it in Shark Tank terms. You know, how much have you made? How much have you profited? How much have you put in the pocket? Have they made $250,000? Have they made $500,000 off this toy? I don't know. I bet they're going to make a lot more now because of all the publicity they're getting.
And right? Either way, sales of that does not detract from sales of liquor.
Right.
In fact, I would argue that it would increase it because the people who are going to buy this are the people who drink Jack Daniels.
100%.
Like, this will be funny for my dog.
100%, Zommers. I'm with you 100%. And think about how much, look, I mean, here on CNN.com, you have a bottle of Jack Daniels, the label. We're talking about Jack. How many times have I said Jack Daniels this morning? And how much has Jack Daniels paid us for an ad? Zero. This in the political world is what we call earned media. You're getting advertising without having to pay for it, which is exactly what they wanted. And it also reminds me of something a former colleague used to say all the time. And I'll clean it up a little bit for radio. He used to say, hey, remember, if they can't take a joke, screw them. You know, I mean, that's just, if you can't take a joke, come on. It's just a joke. But I get as someone who owned a trademark at one point, I guess I still technically own it. You do have to protect it. But still, it's just a dog toy. Look it up if you want. CNN.com, Jack Daniels says a dog toy company is ripping off its brand.
Some of the other ones, I think, there's one that's called Bark Daniels Pooch Hooch Whiskery. It says 90% woof or wolf. I can't tell. But the font and the designs are even more similar.
Really?
But it's a plush, so the shape is different.
Okay.
And it doesn't talk about poop. So that's probably why they don't care.
See, there's all kinds of parodies. It happens every time. You know, I mean, I'd be interested to find out what our colleague Kristen Bry thinks about this. Because she's, you know, she's a comedian, an actor. She deals in humor all the time. What does a comedian think about this? What does an actor think about this? At what point are you no longer able to do parody or do comedy? What's a person's right freedom of speech to speak out and have humor? Again, how did Weird Al Yankovic get away with this for years? Just stealing people's songs.
Not scot-free, I'm sure. I'm sure he's had to pay royalties, and I think I remember seeing people trying to sue him multiple times.
But still he survives. If you're not familiar who we're talking about, Weird Al Yankovic, a longtime singer. I'm not sure, I guess you'd say writer, because he had to write the parody. He would take popular songs like Michael Jackson's Bad and then make a parody about it, change the words, and make a parody. And back when we had video music videos, would make, you know, music video parodies about this. And then he'd perform. And they do well. Some of them did very well on the charts. And he made a lot of money using other people's songs, but just changing the lyrics. And as Zommer said, still going today. And that's the part that kind of irks me. It's just completely, in my opinion, stealing people's work. I realize there's a form of art to having to write the parody as well. I'm all for a good parody. You understand? I'm all for a good joke. But if that's all the performer does, it's kind of like a one-trick pony. You got to have at least a two tricks up your sleeve, especially if you're playing euchre. It's 10:47. What do you got dialed up for us, Mr. Zomers?
Well, the rest. This is the end of Jack Daniels here.
Oh, this is fantastic. Listen, little Jack Daniels, come back with our final segment, wrap things up. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Yankovic, one of his parodies, that is I'm Fat, Not I'm Bad, or Bad, the original Michael Jackson song. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yep. It's,
right there.
It's the same.
It's exactly the same tune. Exactly the same tune. He just changes the words, puts on a fat suit, and does a video. Made millions of bucks on parodies.
Although he did definitely, he's had plenty of lawsuits. And he settled out of court with Sony in 2012. Here's one that I saw just looking it up. I'm pretty sure there are more.
I'm pretty sure. But he's still going. He's still got enough money. He's still going. 10:51 here on a Wednesday morning. Still going until 11 when our friend and colleague, Ms. Kristen Bry, steps into the microphone along with Jane Matinier for As Goes Wisconsin. At the top of the hour, a great program from 11 until 2. Then at 2 o'clock on Bull Falls Radio, we have Chad Holmes of the Great Chad Holmes Show. Informative information of Wausau and Central Wisconsin. All you need to know there. If you don't live in Wausau or listen to Bull Falls, on the rest of the Civic Media Network at 2 o'clock, it's Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. They will take you down every tangent, every rabbit hole, from sports to watering holes to news to water skiing and so much more. Listen every day, 2 o'clock to Dueling Tangents on the Civic Media Radio Network or at 2 o'clock on XCO for the Chad Holmes Show. Then at 3 o'clock everywhere, it's Matt Flynn Direct. As soon as his microphone is on, the lines are open. You're not woke if you don't know history. That's what Matt tells us. He's so very right. Listen to the show. It's informative. Always informative. He's a lawyer, former chair of the State Democratic Party. You know, what I like about it, he's direct. He has a take, and he's not ashamed to say it. And I like it when he kind of cracks himself up. That makes me laugh. Matt Flynn, direct at 3 o'clock. At 4, The Devil's Advocate with Crudy and Dom. It is never personal, only politics. Although it got a little personal a couple of days ago. Crudy and Dom, I was on the show yesterday, and I thought there was going to be blood on the floor when I came in the studios. They were going at it. But no, they were just nothing personal, just politics. Crudy and Dumb, 4 until 6 on The Devil's Advocates. At 6 o'clock in his Native Roots, all things from a Native American perspective. And then later on, it is The Rick Smith Show across America. Want to end up this morning on a great high note. Want to talk about this new company. It is called Buy US Media. And if you have the Twitter, like I do, you can follow them on @ Buy US, that's Buy US, and then underscore media, MEDIA underscore. So Buy US underscore media underscore. That is their Twitter handle. I'm sure you can look it up on other social as well. Buy US Media. 32-year-old former Wisconsin Badger and NFL linebacker Chris Borland. And a 23-year-old lifelong Badger fan just launched an athletic-driven storytelling platform in college sports. When Olivia Hancock was 12, she was watching All-American Chris Borland play at the Rose Bowl from the stands. A decade later, they would meet when she invited Chris to speak on a mental health panel for a nonprofit She started with NCAA volleyball star Dana Retke. Despite being 9 years apart and having vastly different experiences with sports, Chris always being in the action and Olivia watching from afar, they bonded over the need for an athlete-driven stories in college sports. As a player, Chris Borland felt like athletes had so much more to share with the world beyond just the press conference. As a fan, Olivia said off-the-field stories moved her the most. But scores and stats often dominate the headlines. A year later, Chris and Olivia quit their jobs and built by U.S. Media. They spent the last month crisscrossing the country to meet with college athletes, hear their stories, and highlight them in a way that you've never seen before. And they're just getting started. Check it out. It's called Buy Us Media, or Buy U.S. Buy Us Media. Interested, great college out. They're also on Insta as well at @buyus_media. And of course on Twitter as well. I'm really hoping that we can get these guys on the show and talk to them. My proposal is to bring them on when our own Brady Ewing, who I'm not sure whether he played with Chris Borland on the same team or not. They're pretty close at the same time. Chris Borland, I know tangentially only because he came into our old coffee shop on University Avenue a couple of times. Here's the story. If you've forgotten or you don't know about Chris Borland, here's why he's so fantastic. Number one, he was one of the hardest working Badgers to ever play football at Wisconsin. Great defenseman. Then he got drafted, left the Badgers, got drafted by the San Francisco 49ers. And I believe he played 2 years there at San Francisco, without looking it up, but memory serves. He won Defensive Player of the Year in the NFL. Rookie, I believe, as a rookie. Best rookie in the NFL. Then he signed a new contract with San Francisco worth millions of dollars. And it was about that time that all these issues came out with, is the NFL really safe or not? All these issues about long-term effects for football players. And Chris Borland started to do his own research. And what he found was that the NFL was essentially lying to many of the players. And that they knew the risks, long-term risks of playing professional football, and didn't do enough to protect the players, and furthermore went on to withhold information and lie to them. And Chris Borland, who could have had a long-term all-star, probably Hall of Fame career in the NFL, walked away. And what's more, not only did he walk away, but he returned the millions of dollars that the San Francisco 49ers had paid for him, which he did not have to. And Brady could talk about this better than I could, but in NFL contracts, particularly at Borland's level, part of that money is guaranteed. You get it whether or not you play. And part of it, you know, is later on as you play. Borland, as I understand it, gave most, if not all, the money back and went on this crusade. Came back to Wisconsin. Came into to do a master's program. And I had a couple of talks. He's the real deal. A great guy. And I'm so excited for he and Olivia on their journey to tell these stories. He's going to be great at it. Buy Us Media. BYUS_media. Check it out. Hope to have them on the program soon and have them tell us their story and their journey. That is our story and journey for today. We thank Trigvi Olson for joining us from the Lincoln Project today. Thank you for Mr. Perry as well and all of your phone calls and Mr. Zommers on the board. Stay tuned. As Goes Wisconsin is next. Until tomorrow, this is the Todd Allball Show. This is the Civic Media. And remember, keep banging on your drum.